Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm looking at the time. It's 10:30. It's kind of early. I don't know what we're going to do if we get out in an hour. So I was thinking about this scripture, and when we're young, we don't really think about bending over for things. We just do it, right? It's like pretty easy. It's like, oh, I dropped my money. I'm going to just grab it. Or, oh, look, there's money on the ground. You just grab it. We just do it and we react. But as we get older, and I'm sure many of you can agree with this, I think we tend to get a little more cautious when we have to pick something up from the ground. We realize if we pick up that package from Amazon the right or the wrong way, if we trip over that crack in the sidewalk, or even if we sneeze the wrong way, there could be possible consequences. It's instantaneous. We feel it, and we may even hear it. So many years ago, actually, it was my first year here in the Pacific Northwest. I was still trying to get used to the weather. I come from California, where, for the most part, it's sunny, like 362 days out of the year. This was a particularly, I think, it was a snowy winter or icy winter, and I was carrying a large box of Duraflame logs, and it was the box that you buy from Costco, so it was a bigger size, and I slipped on the stairwell going into my apartment, and I don't remember what happened. I know that someone found me. And I got back up, and they helped me to my apartment. My neighbor looked at me and my leg, and nothing seemed out of place. But they decided that it would probably be best to call the hospital or the ambulance to come and get me. But I think Jesse at the time took me. We did the whole thing, the checkup, the CT scan, and I had a concussion. But my leg was in pain for days. The doctor said it would be fine. I just stretched a muscle. But it took me, I'm not kidding you, weeks, months. It took me a few years to get over that fall. I don't know how I stretched, but it never really fully recovered until probably the last 2 years. I can't even tell you how painful that was. And I don't think I need to, because I'm sure, has everyone here had some sort of fall, minor or major, in their life? I would think so. I think pain, though, is necessary in our lives because it alerts us that something is wrong with our body. But let me say it again, pain is no fun. So in today's scripture reading, Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he sees this woman there who's bent over. Jesus sees this woman in the synagogue, and she may not have seen him. Remember, she's bent over. She didn't seek out Jesus either. Luke doesn't tell us anything about this woman. We have no idea if she's wealthy or if she's poor, or if she's a family matriarch, or if she's homeless. We have no idea if she was someone who was respected or if she was ostracized. All that we know is that she endured a spirit that had crippled her. It bent her in half for 18 full years. Jesus feels for her. And as that scripture goes, the leader of the synagogue is upset. He gets very angry because Jesus ends up healing her on the Sabbath. And some of these translations say that this woman came with a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of infirmity. Luke, who is also known as the physician who's writing, is telling us that the problem with the woman is not so much physical, but perhaps it's spiritual or psychological. Could it be a burdened mind, a burdened spirit? Could that be the result of a bent over back? So in my first years of seminary, and even then when I first got out of seminary, I actually called my doctor in California because we had a close relationship to ask her about this. And she said that this is possible. She said that it's called conversion reaction. Ooh, that's really small. I'm sorry. That's my fault. Do I have any doctors here? Doctor? Oh, there's a doctor. So she said that she would look it up. And a minute later, she read from one of her medical books this long list of physical symptoms that can be caused by extreme mental or spiritual distress. It's fainting, seizures, paralysis, blindness, hearing loss, loss of speech, muscle weakness, difficulty swallowing. Needless to say, it's this list that went on. And of all these, she said, there isn't really a physical problem. For example, a person might be so afraid of what could happen if he leaves his house, so he won't even get out of bed. As a result, he becomes invalid. And not because of a sickness, but because of fear. We hear this kind of language sometimes, don't we? We hear this kind of, how many of you have heard paralyzed by fear, died of a broken heart, worried himself sick? Bill Moyers, he says that our language is evidence of our innate understanding that our mind and our body are bound together, or as what my doctor said, the physical and the psychological are intertwined. Seems like a clear example of the conversion reaction that my doctor had described. It makes me wonder if this woman in Luke 13 had experienced something similar. There's really no way to find out or know how. But let's just suppose that those 18 years prior, she had done something that had caused like a terrible guilt that she could no longer look anyone in the eye. Or suppose 18 years earlier, something had been done to her that had caused such terrible shame that she could no longer, she didn't want to actually talk about it. It's hard to imagine, not in her time, and currently in ours. At first, it would have been a matter of lowering her gaze to avoid eye contact. But eventually, she might have begun to lower her head, then lower her shoulders, and then lower her back. Until 18 years later, you might find her using a short, sturdy walking stick to support her bent-over body. She would be looking at people's knees. We don't know why she was in the synagogue that day, but we'd like to think she was worshiping. So here's how Jesus deals with her. First of all, so slide 1.1, he sees this woman. Jesus sees this woman. He sees her for who she is, a woman because of her condition, who would have been very easy to overlook. He sees her. He sees not only the bent over condition of her body, but the bent over condition of her spirit. He seems to have that ability. If she were standing over the pulpit, looking out at the congregation, don't you think he would have recognized what was on those minds, the hearts and spirits that have been crippled by the things that we have done or the things that might have been done to us? Don't you think that Jesus could have immediately, what we try to hide, he could see that from everyone else. Okay, the second point is that Jesus' next step is to call the woman to him, and to his credit, she comes. She takes the initiative, and she responds to his ask. She takes part and is contributing into this healing process. And if any of us are in similar circumstances, we need to do the same. When someone comes to us to be healed, to be renewed, we have to get up and meet them where they're at. Jesus speaks to her and says, "Woman, you are set free of your infirmity." Do you notice the order? Before he lays his hands on her, he assures her of her freedom. He says, "Woman, whatever shame or guilt has roped you down, has doubled over, has left you, it's gone now. It has been cut loose, and so have you." Only then has Jesus laid his hands on her, and when he speaks the words, they come true. Picture it like this. Imagine this actual rope that is tied around this woman, and it's looped around her body, and she's been in this rope for 18 years. Imagine Jesus just cutting that rope and setting it free, setting her free. When she looks back, she sees the first pair of eyes that she's looked into for the first 18 years. She doesn't see shame. She sees acceptance. She is happy and she is free. However, then there's that high priest. He's a bit mad. He's going a little bit crazy. He's angry. He says, "Look, there are 6 days where you can work. Why don't you just cure on those days? Why cure on the Sabbath?" Part of me can relate to what the priest is feeling. Imagine, you know, these healings that are happening in the sanctuary, and people are running around and they're going crazy and they're excited and people are screaming. It's a little like the priest doesn't have control of what's going on. But also, the Sabbath was a holy day, so you weren't allowed to actually do any work on the Sabbath. You weren't allowed to perform many regular things that you would normally do. Jesus says this to the leader at the synagogue. He says, "You hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath day untie his donkey or ox and lead it to water? Shouldn't this woman and daughter of Abraham, who is one of us, this woman who's been tied up with this infirmity for 18 years, be released from the spiritual bondage? Wouldn't it be so godly, a godly thing, to give her freedom and untie and bind her from this demonic spirit?" Jesus says that we must not wait. We must not wait until a working day. We must not wait any longer to release her from her pain or her bondage. Jesus understands that setting people free is the love for people and the work of God, and there's no better day to be doing that on the Lord's day. As Jesus condemns the rulers and the leaders in the temple, he calls her the daughter of Abraham. Now imagine the gasps and the tearing of robes. Women weren't children of Abraham, not to the legalistic rules in that time. This term wasn't found in Jewish literature. This was revolutionary. To call her a daughter of Abraham is to make her a full-fledged member of the nation of Israel with equal standing before God. In that day, women were actually made righteous through their husbands, not on their own standing. So this was a very revolutionary moment. It was unheard of that she would be called the daughter of Abraham. Jesus was really treading on thin water here. Add that to the fact that Jesus healed her on the Sabbath. Jesus just loved to mess with the establishment. And that's why he was so much of a radical and rebel in the eyes of the righteous temple leaders. He healed her on the Sabbath, the holiest day of the week. And by healing her on the Sabbath, he was demonstrating God's compassion, God's love over the people of the rules and the legalism of that time. In some ways, there was no better day to bring healing. Her response was instantaneous. She began to glorify God. Here was worship like this synagogue probably hasn't seen in years. It was exciting. It happened right before their eyes. Many of the crowd joined her in rejoicing at her healing. Do you remember what Jesus said on another Sabbath day when he was in his hometown in the synagogue and he was healing? He says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the years of the Lord's favor. That is what Jesus wants all of us to do. That is Jesus' goal. And let me say it to you on this Lord's Day. If you have been bound by a spirit of infirmity, if you have been bound by guilt or by shame or by fear or by despair, self-loathing, by defeat, whatever it is that has roped you down, that has roped your heart, your mind, or your spirit, hear this word on this day and in this place and in this sanctuary. Jesus slices through that rope and sets you free. It is Jesus' nature. It is his pleasure. It is his unwavering and undying love that Jesus has for you. He has called us to this exact purpose in which he came, to set captives free. And Jesus still has the power to release us from the things that burden us and that bend us over. What if Jesus is calling you right now to release you? And what if all that he is waiting for is your response? May it be so. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, the one who always sees more than we are able or willing to reveal, in your loving gaze, heal us and free us from all that forces us downward. May we experience the touch of your presence and be raised up to find the delight you share with all humankind. Teach us to see that by entering into the risks of human life, we find your presence in those who yearn to be made well. Make us into a community that unleashes your healing power in the entire world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.